Blog Talk Radio.
After the death of Solomon, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two houses. There were 10 tribes in the northern kingdom known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. They were cast out into the world because of their great sin against God. However, God promised in the last days He would gather these lost tribes back to Israel before the return of our Lord. Unknowingly, some of the churches made up of these lost tribes known as the house of Ephraim. God is now calling them to prepare to come back home to the land He gave our fathers. The call to prepare has been sounded.
Welcome, Ephraimites, and Shalom. This is your host, Mark Reinbold, and this is the House of Ephraim show today. We do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Deckard. But first, a word from our announcers.
And now, from Cradle of Hope, are some important announcements for you. This month, from Cradle of Hope, is a must-have gift offer, the transition of the church. God has transitioned the church since the days of the book of Acts. Don't miss out on this last and greatest move of God. Jesus Christ is returning for a church full of power and glory. This transition will bring the church forward. Send a gift of $25 or more. Call today and get free shipping if you ask for the Transition of Church gift offer. Call 618-262-2810 or go online at jewishprophet.com. Send a gift of $25 or more and ask for the Transition of the Church gift offer.
Hey, welcome back in the show. It's Mark Reinbold. Got a couple announcements to make before we get going here with our great, great show we have in store for you. I just want to remind everyone that we do have a website, www.jewishprophet.com. That's www.jewishprophet.com. And for all you new people out there, maybe the first time that you've been on, please check that website out. You're going to find out who we are, and you're going to get a hold of a lot of material that you've never seen before. And you want to check that material out because you're going to start to learn the Word of God. And I'm telling you what a great opportunity that is. We also have a quarterly coming up here, and you can get more information about that by clicking on the itinerary button on the front page there in the upper left-hand corner and find out what the quarterly and where it's going to be. It's going to be over in Fairfield, Illinois, out what we call lovingly the corn patch, and you can be a part of that and begin to learn the material straight from the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, that is a great opportunity, folks. So grab a hold of this and begin to prepare and to plan and get yourself down here and find out for yourself what's going on, and you can become part of this last day move of God, the House of Ephraim. And again, you can get all that information out at the website, www.jewishprophet.com. We also have fellowships available online. So, you know, if you're out there and you don't have a local fellowship or you want to begin to learn about the material and begin to plug in with the material, not only do we have this blog every day, but we also have fellowships available online. That's via ustream.tv. And we have one on Friday night. I teach one myself Friday night. You can become part of that. There's also a Wednesday midweek service. And we teach only the prophet's material so that you're assured of learning the right material at the right time. What an opportunity, again, that all is. So, again, if you don't already have a fellowship in your area or you just are interested in learning more about what's going on, please consider joining up with that. And you can get more information just by emailing us at cradle@jewishprophet.com. That's cradle@jewishprophet.com. And just say, hey, I'd like to sign up for that Shabbat service that Mark was talking about, and certainly love to get you hooked up. If you want to do it just by the telephone, we can do that also. And you can give the office a call, 618-262-2810, and find out more about that also. Like I said earlier, we do have with us from Mount Carmel, Illinois, Prophet Tom Decker.
We were talking about when my station ended, and what about that, Donna? See, you know, the thing that intrigues me about Donna and teachers, and she's very typical in that place of being a teacher, as you can see this afternoon, is that they can make this thing so simple looking. I mean, she stood here and said some of those things. I said, why don't I ever say anything like that? You don't know mine. Rah, 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 rah. And she's up here going, Well, Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? I'm going, okay. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I thank God for the anointing that he's put into Donna's life and the ministry and the things that she does. And when she teaches, I'm always learning something. I'm always going, well, I didn't see that like that. But, you know, that's what you do for those of you that are teachers. You illuminate the Word of God so that the rest of us can understand it better. Familiar spirits attach themselves, and this is important to understand, to family groups or to groups who associate closely together. Now, have you ever wondered why that you found a friend that happened to have a personality very close to yours? And you think because your personalities match, you get along just fine. Now, we talked about being careful that who you associate with is what you actually can become if you're not careful. In other words, you find a friend that you think is so much like. Actually, if you will do any kind of a study, and one time we had a minister, a teacher, that began to teach into the different characteristics of people and began to show us that those of us that were alike didn't fit nearly as well as those of us that were one this way and another one complete opposite. They fit the best. But you and I, for friends, what do we look for? We look for people that are just exactly like us, if we can find them. Oh, we get along, you know, look at us, we're so near. How many of us have married people just like, fellas just like our mothers? Huh? You know why? You're looking for that spirit. You're looking for that spirit. And the same way around, gals, how many of you have married somebody that bless God, that is like acts and is like your fathers? Sure you do. Why? Because it's a spirit involved. You're looking for that spirit. You don't have any idea in yourself that that's what you're doing, but you will find that spirit. You will find that. It will attract you. Why? Because the familiar spirit in you will be attracted to the same types of familiar spirits. Now, please don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm saying, because you do know what I'm saying. Statistics will prove the fact that daughters will marry people like their fathers. Sons will marry people like their mothers. And it's an absolute fact. And so then what happens? If in fact you do that, then if you're not careful, then you got yourself in the same position that familiar spirit is going to keep doing what? It's going to keep changing and it's going to keep moving. Like I said, spirits don't die. Flesh dies. Spirits, bless God, do what? They look around and say, well, we can't bother that person anymore. They give up the ghost. They're gone. So let's see. Who else in the family are we familiar enough with that we ought to really, 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 really bug? And so then all of a sudden they turn and all of a sudden do it. Now, how long can that go on? It can go on forever, if there's forever for it to go on. Because those spirits, again, as we opened up last night, are bless God, looking for those that, bless God, that they can work through. They're looking to make, make a place that they can inhabit in order for they can express themselves. Now, I think it's very neat because in these types of groups, when you begin to look at these things, that these groups, when they get into these things, and in 2 Timothy, if you look in 1:7, it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now that's 2 Timothy 1:7. Well, most of you know that by heart. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. What did God give us? He gave us power, and He gave us love, and He gave us a sound mind. Concentrate upon the word power. Bless God, because you have power to overcome. The thing about that, and what we need to understand about familiar spirits are, you can't see them as who they are is because they are very familiar to you, and you're familiar to them. In other words, you're attached to each other. You like them. People, I'm going to tell you something. Some people don't want delivered from a familiar spirit because they are their friend. What do you mean by that? They become their friend. How could they become their friend? Listen closely. They like to be down and out. They like for people to feel sorry for them. They're not going to get rid of that spirit. Some of you won't get delivered tomorrow during the time of deliverance because you're not going to want to give up some of these things. You're going to decide, well, now, wait a minute. I kind of like people feeling sorry for me. And I kind of like times when I'm down and people can feel sorry for me. But here's what you need to understand about all these things, the blessed God, that these spirits, heredity spirits, and that's what we want to talk about this evening or begin to talk about this evening, are spirits of blessed God that, number one, fear the dark. That familiar spirit. And when you was a kid, did you ever fear the dark? Why? There's nothing to fear about being dark outside. What is that? It's a spirit. It's a spirit that is passed down within families from generation to generation, and it's real. Well, I'm afraid of the dark. Why? Why are you afraid of the dark? Because there is a spirit there trying to tell you that you're supposed to be afraid of the dark. No, you're not. You don't have to be afraid of the dark. Why? Because God didn't give you what? A spirit of fear. So if God didn't, but you see how that's combated? When that spirit comes to you and suggests to you, you're afraid of the dark. No, no, no. I don't have a spirit of fear. A love and power and a sound mind. I don't have a spirit of fear. God did not give me a spirit of fear. What are you doing? You're combating that spirit with the Word of God. The power is within the Word. Say the power is within the Word. It's not within your justification of what you think. As well, you know, we studied Abraham and Isaac, and we found out that, bless God, that they lied and they were liars. And bless God, they could have just as easily denied that to have happened by that spirit, but they gave place to that spirit, all right? Now, alcoholism is a spirit of heredity. And I think I said earlier, you know, I've been around people that said, you know, well, I come out of a family and my dad or my mom was an alcoholic or a drug addict, and I'll never, ever, ever, ever do that. And their kids, you know, they were growing up, they've seen all this horrible thing. And then you see them years down the line when they're older, and they become addicted to drugs. They become addicted to alcohol. What is that? And stop and think about that. They looked and saw what it did to them when they were children, and they declared, when I grow up, I will never be that way. How many of you have ever said that yourselves about things within your own family? Things that you've seen your mothers or your fathers say, I'll never do that. And now that you've grown, you look back and say, wait a minute. Just like Donna talked about the thing with her mother and how her mother is such a perfectionist. We've all done that. We've all been involved in those things. And those things, you see, are things that do what? They hold us down. Let me tell you something else that are hereditary spirits. Migraine headaches can be. Not always, but they can be. As I talked about, epilepsy is. Talked about diabetes. Pretty well always is. Self-pity always is a familiar spirit. Self-pity. Rebellion. Familiar spirit. Know-it-all spirits. You ever been around those? People that know everything? It's a spirit. How do they? Well, they know everything. No, they don't. They're a spirit. It's involved, I mean, it's a familiar spirit. Inadequacy. Well, I'm just inadequate. You know, I'm just inadequate. We're going to get after that in a minute. And what about nerve conditions many times? Can be that. Let's go to the book of James and look with me there in the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. And it says here, and I think this is so important. You know, again, I'm sure this is religion 101 for all you that are students of the Bible. But you know, it does us good to go back and connect. It does us good to go back and look. And never, never, ever think that you've come so far that, bless God, you can't go back and receive from the Word that you've learned before. You know, one of the things I keep saying about my tapes and my CDs and the things that I produce, those are going to speak to you. I said, you know, he said, I heard you say that the first time. I didn't really understand that. But he said, you said those are going to speak to you right where you're at today. And what you need to do is go back periodically and study those over again, because they will speak to you in a whole different way the next time you study them. And most of you that are doing that can say amen to that. You understand that. What is that about? Well, it's about the fact that, bless God, that you're number one, you're submitting yourself unto God's Word. 4:7 here of James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Notice that's the first thing you got to do, be submitted to God. That's the first thing you do. How do you submit yourself to God? By His holy Word. That's the way you do that. You absolutely put the Word first and foremost in your life. And if you're not going to do that, you know something, the rest of this won't work for you. See, I go back over and over and over again. We've always seemed to get the if you will, the cart in front of the horse. And bless God, we seem to want to become spiritual without being scriptural. And it doesn't work that way. Spirituality, whatever that happens to be, comes only when you become very, very grounded into God's Word. And I'm always saying, and I said it last night, when you become scriptural, you'll probably become spiritual and never know you arrived. The fact of it is, you need to realize that without the Word, you will not survive. Why? Familiar spirits will rule you. You won't rule them. Then if you submit to God, it says, resist the devil, and he might flee from you sometime next week. No, that's not what it says, is it? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The key is the timing in which the devil leaves. Bless God, that's totally into God's hands. But the fact of it is, he will flee from you. But you have to first be submitted to God. You have to again know that God's Word is what exactly He says it is. And bless God, from the fact that it's never going to change. Look at that 8th verse. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You understand that the Lord God is trying to get us into a place of receiving the fact that He is supreme. His Word, you know, again, until you learn that His Word is exactly what He says that it is, you're not going to get very far with the Lord. You have to understand that. How do you understand it? Put it to work. Well, it doesn't work for me when I do it. You keep doing it. You keep doing it over and over and over again. Do you know what most of this is? It's practice. You have to practice. You got to put it into your life. And then you got to have what I call bulldog tenacity. You got to absolutely grit your teeth, grab onto the Word of God, and don't turn loose of it, come hell or high water. And sooner or later, it'll begin to work in your life. I'll never forget the first time that I saw the Word of God work in my life. I'll never forget it. I was in a situation where I was needing God to do some things in my life. The thing that I began to find out that I didn't know as a babe was, the first thing God's going to do is clean me up. Do you hear what I said? I didn't know that. I was a babe, green as a gourd, as they'd say. And you see, I've been to a few meetings, and I had a fellow that came through the town, and this fellow was called a prophet, and I wanted to go see what a prophet was supposed to be, and after when I still didn't know. All right? But anyway, this guy, he got up there, and there was things that happened, and bless God, he said, the first thing that's going to happen is God is going to clean your life up. Don't be concerned about your wife. Or wives, don't be concerned about your husbands. It's you. I go, well, that makes sense. That makes all the sense in the world. If I'm going to be cleaned up, that means that my life is going to change. Now, how is that going to happen? Boy, you never want to ask that question. Because I'm going to tell you what, it seemed like all hell began to break loose in my life. And I kept thinking, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do? Well, let's see. And my sister, she was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd say, oh, sis, you better be praying. Old Bubby here's going through hell, and I don't know what to do, and just you better be praying. Always doing, just going by rubbing my hands. Oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then all of a sudden I thought, now wait a minute. Maybe I need to go buy myself one of these Strong's concordance that guy that came through that called himself a prophet talked about. So I go to the Bible bookstore and I buy a Strong's concordance. I take that home, I sit down with it, and I thought, okay, now let's see. My problem is what? Figured out the problem, all right? Then I found the solution just by leafing through, and I began to run the scriptures that had the word that pertained to my problem that would set me free. So I took those scriptures, I wrote them down on a piece of paper, and I began to repeat them. And I will, instead of walking through the house rubbing my hands together, I began to take the scriptures and I began to speak what the scriptures say. I wasn't praying, oh golly gee, Jesus help me. I just saying this is what the word says. And it pertained to the situation. And bless God, you know something? The next day, I began to see things change. Now, I'm not going to tell you it was over, but it began to change. And you know what using the Word of God and putting the Word of God first and foremost in your life will do? It will bring peace into you first. You will gain peace. And when that peace comes, the passeth all understanding, bless God, then the next situation you have, you know, you look at that same thing, you're going, well, that's not so bad. That's not, you know, what was I mean, yeah, I know, the problem, but it doesn't seem like it did yesterday. Why? Because I let the Word of God come out of my mouth, and that's what it has to do. It has to come out of your mouth, and it has to do what? It has to go forth toward that which is the problem in your life. So whether it's finances, whether it's health, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, the Word of God, there's something in the Word that will cover your situation or your problem. Now, the thing I want you to understand that the devil is not irresistible, all right? He is resistible. He doesn't have the right to what? To mess around with you and your family unless you give place. You know, one of the things that we get into, we don't understand that, bless God, that the Scripture says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to him. And how do you give him place? You give him place by going contrary to the Word. Now, when people come to me and they need to be healed, all right? When people come to me and need to be healed, and they want me to pray for them, and then a few days later, bless God, they sometimes, not always, sometimes you never know about healing. So there's people I pray for that God gives miracles to, and they're completely healed. There's other people that, bless God, that receive healings, miracles, and bless God, in a period of time of 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 days or whatever, that seems like into themselves they lost the miracle or the healing. Well, what you have to come to grips with in those situations is God's Word is either the truth or it isn't. If by His stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago by now, then bless God, you were healed. That settles it. I mean, it's settled. Either it does or it doesn't. Either God's Word either heals or God's Word doesn't heal. Now, what I often have to say to people, which is it for you? Has God healed you and the manifestation of it hasn't physically come into your body? That's the right answer, yes. See, it's never that you've not, well, I'm not healed. How many people say, well, I went up and got prayed, I wasn't healed. Well, that's a dangerous thing anyway. Why? Because you're speaking contrary to God's Word. That's what Donna was saying here this afternoon. When you start speaking contrary to the Word of God, you're going to get in trouble. Because it happens to be the Word of God that is going to bring you over the top of whatever situation that you have in your life. And that's what we're all after, isn't it? We want the Word of God to do what? We want to come that way. Let's go to Ephesians 6:12. And I'm going to tell you what, this right here, I know how this thing happened in my life. And it was really something because when I come across this and realized, and I'm Ephesians 6:12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So see, this isn't something you can take a baseball bat to and run off. All right? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, it's really, really neat when you begin to realize we are in a spiritual war. Now, there's one thing about a spiritual war. If you don't know how to recognize your enemy is going to overtake you. Now, if you were to go out and join the armed forces tomorrow, they would put you through what's called boot camp or boot training. And they begin to teach you about all the weaponry that your enemy has. And more importantly, they would begin to teach you how to overcome your enemy. But you'd first have to learn all about the enemy. Because in order to defeat the enemy, you got to know about the enemy. You got to first know, obviously, that enemy exists. And you got to know all the weapons that the enemy's got that the enemy's going to use against you. And that's what boot camp is all about, is teaching you that. Where we, I think, have failed a whole lot within the church world is we did not teach people spiritual warfare. Now, that's a cute thing. I can remember back early in the days. Now, folks, I'm talking about back in the 80s. I could do a seminar down in Evansville, Indiana, a city there, and I could fill the room up if I did it on spiritual warfare. Absolutely. I mean, people, here they come. Boy, they were there. You turn around and do another seminar on the fruit of the Spirit, very few would show up. Why? Because it didn't intrigue people like spiritual warfare did. But I also noticed something else. Not many people taught spiritual warfare because not many people could work over into the supernatural side of this thing. You know, it's like I keep saying, if you can't see into the supernatural world, and if you're not being helped, and some of you have been helped by a familiar spirit to try to see over into that world, but if you can't see over there, stay out of it. Don't harm people because you've got this thing inside of you saying, oh, golly gee, I want to be spiritual. And I'm not going to go back into the story I told about the guy that got delivered and or thought he was delivered, and he took a gun and went next door and killed his neighbor. And all happened was what? That spirit was riled up. The fact of it is, though, we have a warfare that is spiritual. You can't see it. And if you can't see your enemy, how do you know your enemy's there? You can know your enemy's there simply by being able to categorize, if you will, and receive the fact that, bless God, that we here on this earth, we are warriors of God. We have, and if you'll go down through there, and we're not going to study that tonight, about how that all, in fact, that putting the armor of God and putting it all on, and what it's all for and how to use it. If we'll do that, you know, we'll overcome the enemy, and we'll do it in a very slick way. Let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Boy, that's a lot, isn't it? That will give unto you the spirit of wisdom. What's that about? That you will have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That you'll understand who He is. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory and inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Now, I really like that. And the reason I really like that is in that 18th verse, His inheritance in the saints. He has an inheritance in us, all right? Now, He's also talking about working in His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, which He raised Him from the dead and set Him on His own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principalities, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world is to come, into that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and give Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So we are what? We happen to be the head. He's the head over all things to the church. He's put everything that darkness has under our feet for us. The Scripture will illuminate that to us. And so really and truly, what do we have to be concerned about in this? Not a thing. We don't have a thing to be concerned about. The problem is we have to make decisions. All right? Okay, well, I get a phone call. And here comes the phone call. And the phone call comes in and says, look, you're late on a payment. You're late on a payment to the bank, and we're just calling to tell you that, you know, that you're so many days late, and bless God, we're going to give you finance charges and this and that and everything else, and now you got a choice. What am I going to do? I don't have any money. What am I going to do? Well, you know, these things are things that only you yourself have command over. Nobody can answer that question for you. You can do one or two things that I see. One is you can either get down and fret and, oh, golly gee, what am I going to do? Or you can believe the Word of God for a miracle for your finances. Now, when I did a piece of ministry called Learning to Live in the Miraculous, I talked in that piece of ministry about the fact that you have to start with small things. See, before God's going to let you raise the dead, He's going to make sure that you can handle those little things. Why? Because if you can't handle little things, there isn't going to be any bigger things. So I remember way back during this time when I'm trying to learn these things myself, not for the ministries, but for me, I remember that I'm supposed to go minister. One of the few times early on in my ministry that I had somewhere to preach, and bless God, I got a phone call and I was to go. The problem was I didn't have the finances to get there. And I'm sitting there, now I've been studying myself what I'm ministering to you tonight. And all of a sudden, something happened inside of me of which would have caused me before to go through what I went through. What am I going to do when I went and got the concordance? And all of a sudden, I realized something. Wait a minute. It's time for me to enter in to a different place, not to see this as something overtaking me, but to see this as an opportunity, a possibility, possibility thinking. All right? Now, I didn't have money to put gasoline in the car to make about a two and a half hour drive. So my opportunity is to say, well, I'm not going to get a go because I've got no gas. We're broke. Or I can simply believe God. Now, I'm not speaking this out of my mouth because we've been telling you about spiritual warfare that Satan can't read your mind, but he sure can hear what you say and watch the way that you act. That's it, that he does that and does it well. So now I'm looking at this and I'm going, I have an opportunity to see a miracle. Now, do you understand, and I hope that you can grab on to the difference here, because now I'm talking in a whole different realm than I, myself, had once talked in. Now I'm talking about, wait a minute, this thing gives me an opportunity to see a miracle happen. Instead of saying, I don't have any gas money, I don't know how I'm going to get there. What are we going to do now? I mean, we don't even know anybody to borrow money from. Why are we going to, instead of that, I'm going, we have an opportunity to see a miracle. And so I'm saying, oh, great, great. God is waiting for the mail to show up in order to give me what I've got in that mailbox, which is going to be money to put gas to go to the meeting tonight. And I'm walking around. And now the mail comes about noon at my house, all right, out in the rural country. And bless God, I'm just about, well, God, I thank you. I praise you and I glorify you for that money and that mailbox so I can go preach your gospel tonight. Hallelujah. What an opportunity and what a piece of testimony I'm going to have for the service tonight to talk about how that the Lord gave me a miracle. Now, if I was to tell you I was in a little wobbly need when I walked down to the mailbox, I'd be lying and have to repent. But I never spoke it out of my mouth. I walked down to the mailbox. I opened, I started to peek, and I thought, no. Opened the mailbox, reached in and took out the thing. I went through the mail, and I'm going through the mail. Wait a minute, there's somebody I don't know. I open it up, get inside of it, and there is a note in there. But I first saw the money, and there was $50. Took the note out, and here's what the note said. Brother Deckard, I was in one of the meetings with you here a month or so ago, and I want to just tell you that God put on my heart to send you this $50. Evidently, you're going to need it. Well, Brother Deckard, the money would have come anywhere. It's in the mail. Not necessarily, it wouldn't. It didn't have to have showed up that day. It could have got lost. If I would have come and started going into the doubt and unbelief thing, bless God, the familiar spirits would have gone forth and probably seen to it that that thing would have got misplaced and not delivered until the next day, which would have been too late because the meeting was at night. Now, let me tell you what that does for your confidence in God's Word. It just sends it sky high. I'm going down the road. I got to that meeting that night, and boy, I told the story about how it was that God took that which looked to be the old doomsday thing happening for me getting there to the miracle that I got there. Now, I realized that woman knew that I needed that money long before I knew I wasn't going to have any. And so she sends the money. Now, where do you go with that? You learn to say, look, I am a miracle worker in the name of Yeshua. I have the opportunity to work a miracle. We have an opportunity to see miracles happen here tomorrow morning. There's an opportunity that lies before us. Some of you have an opportunity to be delivered here this weekend. But you have within yourself the power to say yes or to say no. You have the power to resist the devil, or you have power to do what? Give in to the powers of darkness. Nobody else has the power over you. You have the power over every situation of your life. Every situation. And so what's neat about it is that you're the fellow in the driver's seat. So then I begin to talk about possibility thinking. In fact, I did a series on exactly that. That when, you know, when they brought the fishes and a few fishes and the loaves to Yeshua, and they told him that, you know, that they, there they was, had 5,000 plus the women and children, and all they had was these few things, the things. Right there, there was a possibility of failure or success. There was a possibility of a miracle or a possibility of saying, well, you know, they'll just have to stop down at the local Huck store and buy something. We can't do nothing about it. But no, Yeshua was giving them the opportunity to understand from whence miracles comes. Folks, miracles come out of the very, 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 very place of where it looks to be doom and gloom at the best. That's when miracles appear. Miracles happen in that way. And when you and I begin to reach out and begin to receive that and begin to change the thinking up here, see, this is what gets us in trouble. This thing. Because we want to reason and we want to be reasonable about what's going on and bless God, realize that this thing, you know, is either going to overtake us or we're going to overtake it, and gee whiz, it's going to overtake us, so I give, Uncle. But when you begin to take the old proverbial bull with the horns, as they say, when you begin to say, look, devil, you get in the back seat, I'm going to drive. When you begin to do that, you scare the socks, if he had socks, off the devil and all of his cohorts. Why? Because they're not used to that. Do you know what they're used to? They're used to, what am I going to do now? Oh, you better pray. Help, 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 help. You better pray, because I'm telling you, we're in trouble. I'm telling you, this doesn't take place. Our boat is sunk. I'm keen to tell you, it's over. That's what they're used to. When you start talking the Word of God, it scares them, because they don't know what's going on, except that they hear it out of your mouth. See, they don't know whether they win or they lose until you tell them that they have won or they have lost. When you use the Word of God, what you're telling the powers of darkness, these familiar spirits, I won. When you act like you win, they just go, whoa, let's go next door. They don't know. That's the reason that it is absolutely imperative that you understand. If there was ever something that I could share with you about darkness and how that you can handle darkness, it would be just exactly that. Until you let them know, they don't know. One time, years ago, the Lord let me listen. And He let me understand through listening into the supernatural world a conversation that the familiar spirit was having. I had had a problem in my back. I'd hurt my back when I was younger. And bless God, from time to time, I'd have this problem on my back. And I went through some things. And I had believed God. I got down on my knees and I said, God, I believe you. By the Spirit's stripes, I'm healed. I received it. I got up and I said, thank you, Lord. And I began to raise my hands and praise Him. And bless God, I could feel the pain out of the right in here in my lower back just absolutely just leave. I was jumping around and I was shouting and I was crying and I was thanking God because it had been so painful and it had been there for a number of years. And dear God in heaven, and all of a sudden, bless God, I thought, oh, this is the most wonderful thing that there is. Anybody can do this. And about a day or two went by and all of a sudden that pain came back. And I'm telling you, it hurt twice as bad as it did before. And I thought, don't touch your back. Don't you let that stinking spirit even think that you're hurting. I didn't. I got out of bed and I walked around. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it got worse instead of better. I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. It got worse. It finally got hurt me so bad that and much pain, tears were coming down my face. I got down on my knees and I looked up to heaven and I said, Father, I want you to understand. I said, devil, do you see these tears? These tears are tears of joy that I serve of God that's healed me and that I am free from this back pain forevermore. And you are the Father of all lies, and I thank you, Father, that I'm free in Yeshua's name. Do you want to know something? That back pain left just like that. It was gone. Now, I don't know who was more surprised, me or the familiar spirit. He didn't know what to do because I'm proclaiming the Word of God. I'm not acting like it's hurting. Even the tears hurt me. And I said, no, these are tears of joy. Now, later that evening, when I was going to evening prayer, the Lord spoke to me and He said, I want you to listen to the conversation that took place from the other side over your back. And the conversation was, well, he's received the word of God and he has spoken that he's healed. And look, he's walking around and jumping up and dancing. He's healed. Then that next day, or whenever that was down the road, that pain came back. Here was the conversation. I'm going to poke him one time in the back, and let's just see what he does. Let's just see. Went up, smacked me in the back, and they backed up and said, now look at him. And the other one said, wait a minute. Why isn't he doubling over him? Why isn't he saying, oh, the pain? Smack him again. Come up and he hit me again in the back. And bless God, and backed up. And the other spirit said, look, you got him now. He's in so much pain, tears are running down his face. Look at him. He said, what did he say? He said they're tears of joy. How can they be tears of joy when you've done this? And the other spirit said, he believed the word. Do you know who knows that the word is truth more than we do as humans? It's darkness. They know the word is truth. They know more than we know, for the most part. They know that when it's applied and you believe it and you doubt not, you're going to have whatsoever you say. Why? Because that is a spiritual law. And that law, when it is applied properly, works every time you apply it. It doesn't work every once in a while. It works every time you apply it. So I begin to learn. Now you understand, I'm learning. I'm all of about a year and a half, 2 years old, bless God, and in the spirit realm, and I'm learning this invaluable lesson. And God is beginning to teach me how to handle darkness so that darkness doesn't handle me. Darkness, again, only knows what it sees and what it hears. That lesson which God took me and taught me into probably changed my life more than any other lesson that I probably can ever think of when it comes to this type of, or comes to spiritual warfare. Because now I begin to understand what it's all about. Now, one time after I got in the ministry, somebody came in and they were having chest pain. Sometimes when I minister, bless God, especially if it's ministering toward healing and ministry, and healings and miracles, bless God, because I'm an intercessor, I begin to intercede and I begin to feel all the pains that are in the room. Over the course of the time that I minister, I will have over an hour or whatever I minister, an hour and a half, I will have come in contact with everybody in the room. Okay? And I will have felt it. I will have known who it is because I will have been guided by God, spoken to in the audible voice that God speaks to me in when I minister and under these anointings, and I feel those pains. And so it was a pain in the heart, and it was a man, and he was sitting somewhere over in here. And anyway, I picked that up, and the Lord said to me, I want you to pray for that man. I said, oh, most certainly, that man needs to be prayed for. And he said, look into the Spirit. And I looked, and he said, what's wrong with his heart? And I said, well, nothing's wrong with his heart. He said, that is the way that you have to move into the supernatural realm. He said, he thinks he's got a heart problem, but he doesn't. He said, look closer, and it was a familiar spirit. He said, he didn't have heart trouble. What the familiar spirit wants him to believe. Now, folks, how many can you get on the Holy Ghost waiters here and get into this thing with me? Because I'm taking you where most preachers couldn't even dare go. He said what he's trying to do is to get this man here tonight to accept the fact that he's got a heart problem, and then he's going to have a heart problem, and he's going to die. Because he's about to take place. Now here's something what the Lord said to me. He said, ministers that can discern but can't discern in depths would walk back and say, you have a heart problem. And he would accept it and he would die. Come on, folks, get on the same page with me, because this is how serious all this is. This isn't a game. This isn't something that people play walking up now. And most preachers play this game. They want you to think, oh, look at what God's done through me. Look what God, well, yes, I know, but God used me to do it. No, that doesn't have anything to do. This is something that can be taught. This is something that needs to be taught. Do I believe that everybody's going to be able to understand it over on the other side of the supernatural world like this prophet? No, I don't. But what I do, and I'm totally convinced about, is you can learn to put the devil to the run every situation of your life and anybody that's around you's life if you will learn to use the Word of God and doubt not. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And think not that that man shall receive anything from the Lord. So you can't one moment be saying, I'm healed, like what happened to me with the back, and then all of a sudden the stinking familiar spirit comes and smacks you. Oh, this pain. You can't do that. What is that? That's double-mindedness. We want to believe the Word of God, but at the same time we want to believe the five senses that God gave us to govern our bodies with. You know, that's the reason God gave us five senses, you know. It's because He knew that some of us were going to never get to the place where we could be led and guided by our spirit man through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. So the five senses are there. If you're being led, you don't need those five senses. Why? Because you can know into that other side. But thank God He did. Amen. So the lesson in this is neat. The lesson of this is so neat that if you learn how the game is played, and more importantly, if you learn the rules of the game, the game has rules. You, no one on this earth can break the rules and have the prize. Nobody can. That's the reason why you have to decide. It is dangerous to decide you're going to believe the Word of God and get double-minded. You're better off to have never entered the doors, sat down and learnt, and then be double-minded. You're better off to never have done that. Because this is what gets people in trouble. Because once you take the Word of God and you apply it, it'll work. Now, the manifestation physically of God's Word may not happen instantly, but it will happen. But it's going to happen on God's terms, not your terms. See, and that's the other thing we get into. Well, I mean, after all, if God was going to heal me, everybody else got healed in that line tonight besides me. I guess I didn't get healed. No, what you don't understand, God had another plan for you. Maybe you're at a point where, bless God, God knows that you've got to pass test number 276 and everybody else just had to pass test 199. For you now, why bother for later? You think you're going to get lucky? Do you know how many people through the years I've watched come and get in the healing lines hoping that this was their lucky night? Thousands at this point. Hoping this will be their lucky night, that had all these people pray for them. Let's talk about praying for people for a second. What happens when somebody that has a familiar spirit lays hands on somebody else that doesn't have a familiar spirit and decides that they're going to pray for them? Transferal spirit. I was in a church one time and I was ministering. I was getting ready to minister and I was sitting and waiting on the time that they called me to the podium. And while I was there, the Lord said, open your eyes and look. And I opened my eyes and looked and I saw a spirit of perversion over the entire congregation. Church of about 300 people. And I said, where did that come from? And the Lord said, listen, son, because He said, I'm going to teach you something that you must know. Now, I didn't know a thing, not my favorite word, cockeyed thing, about transferal spirit. He said, look at the pastor. I looked at the pastor, and that spirit was on him. He said, these people that are out here, some of them had that spirit, but he said, now they all have it. He said, you know how they got it? And I said, no. He said, because the pastor is laying hands on all of them. Boy, it got quiet now, didn't it? You better know who's laying hands on you. And you better get smart enough to not let everybody and every place you go get in line and get their hands laid on you. I'm doing a piece of ministry, I think, up in, I think it was when we were up in Milwaukee. No, it wasn't Milwaukee. Wherever. This person came and said to me, I'm trying to open up my own business because it was prophesied over me, and they told me by who, and I happen to know who that person was, that I was to open up my, get my own business going, and that I was not to worry about working for anybody else, that I was going to have, God was going to give me, anointed me to open up my own business. I said, so what's the problem? Well, it's been 2 years and I can't do the business. And I said, let me tell you something. I said, let me tell you something. The fact of it is, you're not called. You don't have an anointing to run your own business. Go get a job. Now, who's right and who's wrong? I'm going to tell you something. If you went 2 years thinking that you were supposed to start your own business and you're dumb enough to think you ought to hang on and look another year, then you're just going to have to be dumb. But the problem is that person that prophesied over this man and told him that, the alternatives in which was given to him were none. Was just, you, this is what's going to happen to you. Well, it didn't happen. Now, this guy is still bumming around trying to do what? You know, he called our office a few weeks ago and started in with Donna, and Donna said, what do you want to tell him? I said, remember what I told him in that meeting. Go get a job. He's never going to have his own business. Now, do you see what the dangers are of having people telling you things, prophesying things to you that, bless God, that aren't truth? Now, that's just a nice thing. I could stand here and go through numbers of things that bless God, that through the years that I have seen. You don't have any, you got it. You see, people are so stupid that they just run up and get hands laid on them and they all, stop it. Grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to understand, folks, this supernatural world that's here is real. It really works. The devil comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's really good at what he does. God is really better at what he does because he's given us everything that we need to overcome him. And that started out with his son, Yeshua. So I found out that, bless God, that not everything and not every time somebody is, all this stuff is going on, there's a problem. And people say to me all the time, well, how am I going to know the difference? You better go sit and you better pray and you better begin to ask God what's going on. Because it's real, folks. It really, 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 really happens. If the minister has a problem, everybody's going to have a problem. Well, listen to me. If the minister, bless God, is having financial problems, everybody's going to have financial problems. Why? Because that spirit is going to get over everybody that he transfers it to. When there is anointing that happens, such as happened in this room tonight, then there's things that can happen, bless God, to the good side and to the bad side. It all depends upon who's administrating the anointing to you and what they understand about that. And that's the reason for years and years I've said, you know, we've got people out here in the pulpits running around laying hands on people that, bless God, that need delivered. Sadly need to be delivered. Why? Because those familiar spirits have come and they have overtaken them. And I, you know, people, well, I'm going to tell you something. When I was raising up ministry, it was well known. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Until the prophet poured oil on you and he laid hands on you, you better not be caught in many of our churches laying hands on anybody. And I'm going to tell you something else. Who was with you? Your brothers was down in Dallas. You remember down there? And I got said somebody started in on something about they laid hands on somebody. Did I eat them up with no salt? I ate that woman up with no salt, didn't I? And I mean to tell you, ever you could hear a nickel, you don't come. I'm going to tell you something. If I need you laying on hands anybody in this audience, I'll tell you so. And if I don't, then you keep your cockeyed hands off of them. And that's all I've got to say. And some of you people need to hear what I'm saying tonight. It's like turning some kid loose in a candy factory. They can't keep their hands off all the candy. Leave them alone. If they need it, they'll get it right here. The prophet is standing here. Somebody needs to take that home and pray about it. But it happens all the time, doesn't it? Why? You don't need that. I'm going to tell you something. You people aren't here because you need to minister. You're here because you need to be ministered to. And see, and that's the reason I get so out of hand about these things. What in the world could you have to be given to somebody when a prophet of God, a major prophet of God, is standing right here? You know what it is? It is an alter ego that needs to be delivered. That's all that it is. That's all it was in that woman down in Dallas. And somebody said, well, he was healed. I said, I don't care what he was. She's out of line. It's out of order. You know, he'll hear Stan this weekend, next weekend, tell everybody, it'd be nice if you just don't lay hands on anybody or prophesy anybody with a prophet here. Number one, there doesn't need to be prophecy. If a prophet's in the house, he's the mouthpiece of God. He'll give it. The authority is here. It's not out there. Just little things that people don't seem to understand and probably never will understand. But the fact of it is, my brothers and sisters, this is all real. This isn't a game. This isn't about who's trying to outdo somebody else. My Lord and my God, I'd just soon be fishing as doing what I do. But the fact of it is, this is the only thing I can do, because you see, this is the only thing I'm anointed to do. Donna would say amen real quick to that. She always says it's a good thing, Brother Deckard, you're called to be a preacher. She's seen me try the mechanic. I tried to change the faucet on our kitchen sink. And now a plumber told me that was about a 2-hour job at most. And it took me 8 hours. 3 trips to the town, 7 mile one way. How many trips? 4 trips. Sorry, sweetheart. 4 trips. That even sounds worse than it was. And you know something? Donna's over there. Well, why don't we just call a plumber? I said, no. I'm too Jewish to call the plumber. I'll fix this. Then I'd have to go back to town. There it was. 8 hours later, that baby was just working just as smooth as you'd want it. No calling to be a plumber at all. Now, you and I have to understand that we're part of His body, part of His precious body. We're brand new creatures in Him, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, in Luke 10:17, even the demons are subject to us in His name. Now, you know, I believe in all of what God has taught me through all these years about how, and really in a simple fashion, it's just how to handle darkness. But you know, most people don't have the foggiest idea. They just think they're the way they are because that's the way they are. No, you're not the way you are because that's the way you are. You're the way you are because you have chosen to be the way you are. Well, I'm sorry, but I just can't quit smoking. Oh yeah, you can. And let me tell you something else. You do what you want to do. Don't you let anybody tell you anything different from that. If you want to quit smoking, you'll quit smoking. If you bless God, you want to quit it, you'll quit it. If you don't, you're not going to quit it. And that familiar spirit's going to keep doing that and help keep you doing that. And you know what's really neat, I think, about it all is, when it comes down to it, it's like I said, there's some of those spirits that bless God that people don't want to be delivered from because they are buddies, they are friends, and they wouldn't know what to do without it. Usually a self-pity is one of the real biggies. Now, if you have familiar spirits in your life, bless God, I'm going to tell you something. You must change the way that you live. Change the way that you act and the way that you react to the situations, and put a muzzle on your mouth. Now, this story you may have heard before, but if you have, bear with me. When I got to the point of realizing that the biggest problem I have lies right here, this thing called your mouth. Now, I didn't have a mustache and a beard at that time. And I'm still, at this point, I'm learning. I wasn't as poor as being able to hear God let me understand what the other side was saying and all that. I'm young, but I'm trying to understand that my battle is me keep my mouth in control. So I made my mind up that I was going to get up in the morning and I was going to make one 24-hour period of my life without speaking anything contrary to the Word of God. Some of you need to try this. And so you're probably looking at me and saying, well, how'd you do it? Oh, real simple. I had some duct tape. I duct taped my mouth for 24 hours. Something happened that I had to go to town and go in a store. Well, I'm already into this thing, and I'm not going to stop, so I go into the store with this my mouth duct taped. People looking at me like, oh, Deckard got religion. Look at Deckard now. You know what I mean? Oh, Deckard, he's looking good now. I'm telling you what. And so I quickly got what I needed, got back. And now, when that 24-hour period was over and I ripped the duct tape from my mouth, I said to the Lord, I may never make another day But when I get to the, get to your kingdom and stand before you, I can say I made at least one day that I spoke nothing contrary to the word.
Hey, thank you again so much. That's Prophet Tom Deckard.